Welcome to the January 9th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips, Worship Associate Gretchen Luke, and Worship Associate Alyssa Short. What do empathy and compassion have to do with the way we live our lives? We'll explore how feeling with and for each other can help us live with intention.
Good morning and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Gretchen Luke, and today I'm pleased to be weaving worship with Alyssa Short and Rev Pam. Okay. If you are with us for the first time, we are glad that you found us. You'll find a link in the virtual visitor's card in the chat or paper card in the back of the sanctuary. Fill it out and if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or sorrow you wish to be shared aloud, you'll find a link in the chat or cards that are available near the entrance to the sanctuary, and we'll collect those during the opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at the calendar or on our website for times, location, Zoom links, and contact information if needed. Thanks to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make all of these activities possible. Good morning.
Good morning. I also want to just call your attention in the order of service and in the announcement slide. Next Sunday, there'll be an MLK celebration that you might want to register for, the NAACP from Montgomery County, Floyd County, and Radford City are putting it on. It's at 3:30 in the afternoon, but it's on Zoom, so you'll want to register, and you'll find that link in the announcements as well. And I just a personal plug next week. Well, it's not personal, I guess. Next week, we're going to have a guest preacher in our pulpit. Her name is Anna Tulu, and she is a seminarian from Roanoke. And I encourage you to come either online or in person as she shares with us some of our UU history. It's always great to have seminarians who are up on the latest. I think that's all I want to lift up, but I would like to invite Sarah Catlett up to share with us what the children are up to today in religious education.
Good morning. So in pre-K today, they will be reading Odd Bird and Making a Feathered Mask. K2 will be reading Change Sings and Envisioning and Designing Their Own Instruments. 3-5 will be reading Room for Everyone and making a Kittinge expired mandala, and middle school will be watching a Simpsons episode called Whacking Day and discussing the issue of animal rights.
And now comes the most exciting moment in our service. We will greet one another. So I'll ask the tech team to put the folks at home. You'll be up on the screens up here. And if you would like to turn on your video and wave to the folks here in the sanctuary, and also if you'd like to put in the chat where you are worshiping from this morning, so we can see some folks up there. And let me see who: Christiansburg, Blacksburg, Yellow Sulphur Springs, Radford, Pulaski, Shawsville, Radford, Primrose Drive in Blacksburg, Floyd, Westover Hills in Blacksburg, Ellet Valley, Jackson, Wyoming, Preston Forest, Blacksburg, Price Street in Blacksburg, High from Radford, Pulaski. Wonderful. We have people from far and wide. And now you get to become the stars. Let's put the folks at home or in the sanctuary. Oh, somebody from Max Meadows too. Let me see. Here we go. So everybody in the sanctuary, wave. We've got almost a, well, a full house. I don't know how you call a full house anymore. They're smiling under those masks. They're waving. We are here together and apart. And it's Sunday morning. Yay. All right. Thank you so much. It is good to be together in this new year. Oh, so now that we've gotten that part done, let's go ahead and create some sacred space.
We're going to light the chalice, and please join in reading the words on your screen as we light the chalice. We light the chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. And our opening words this morning were written by Rev Gretchen Haley. Every little thing that breaks your heart is welcome here. We'll make it a space for it to give in its due time, and praise for the wanting it represents, the longing for something more, some healing hope that remains not yet. We promise no magic, no making it all better, but offer only this circle of trust, this human community that remembers through imperfections, that sing and praise through sometimes awkwardly, this gathering that loves, though not enough. We're still practicing after all, still learning, still in need of hope and partners, still becoming able to receive all this beauty and all these gifts we can bring. Come, let us worship together.
Please join me in reading part of our covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate our words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
And Alyssa will be sharing our time for all ages.
Morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Alyssa Short. I am an RE teacher and part of our interim LFD team, along with Brandy Lemon and Sarah Catlett. I'm recording this video from home on our Friday snow day because I'll most likely be downstairs in the K-2 classroom when you watch this. So basically, I'm time traveling and teleporting to be with you this morning. During our Christmas Eve service, our opening words by Maureen Killoran reminded us that love does not depend on perfection, but on willingness to risk connection. She asked us to open our unready hearts. I wrote down the words unready heart because I wanted to remember that invitation. Or for me, perhaps, challenge. As a sensitive person who feels all the feelings, even when they are not mine, this phrase was a beautiful reminder of the power of empathy. There are Sundays when the UUC sanctuary feels like a hurricane of energy and emotions, rather than a peaceful, well, sanctuary. In these moments of overwhelm, I feel unready for connection. Unready to open my heart to a community, even as much as I love and feel part of this community. The word unready reminds me to be intentionally empathic rather than just survive all the feelings swirling around me. That part of authenticity is mindfulness, and that it's okay to feel unready, to open my messy heart, and to connect in an imperfect way. When I tune in with my empathy in an intentional way, using mindfulness to iron out and sort through the swirling feelings, it helps me relate to others' choices and cultivate compassion from there. One of the ways that feeling unready has shown up in my life recently, one of the many ways, is serving as a teacher in our RE program. When Karen asked me to consider returning to the in-person classroom, my brain quickly dismissed the invitation. But in the shadows, my heart, my ever unready heart, beat a quiet, almost imperceptible pulse of yes, yes, yes. Eventually, my heart won over and here I am. For me, it was the right choice. Seeing our UUC friends and seeing our daughter reconnect with her important adults at UUC did not alleviate my anxiety, but it made it feel worth it. However, I can only speak from my own experience. Every family and every teacher has a different threshold for risk, and they made their choices based on their own circumstances and worldview. Each of our teachers showed up or stayed home for different reasons, and our families are profoundly grateful for all of these decisions, which were made with intention and care and with our youngest congregants at the center. Our teachers for the 2021-22 year are Dan Taylor, Diana Zaldivar, Anna Vijayan, Katie Mayer, and Brian Mayer, Jessica Morris, Mike Belcher, Chris Clark, Derek Roundtree, Helen Fontinos, Lindsay Marr, Nicole Napolitano, Angela Parrish, Meg Moore, John Ember, and Chan McGill. And of course, our YRUU advisors, Jane Keppel Benson, Angela Parrish, Mark Benson, Kim Feit, Jim Kern, and Erica Coleman. And we are so grateful for their service. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines empathy as understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experiences of another. Compassion is the awareness of the feelings and perspective of another, which empathy grants us, coupled with the wish to take action, to connect, learn more, or serve based on that understanding. Let's take a trip together. Moving through empathy. Imagine what it would feel like to serve as a teacher during a pandemic. What would that feel like if you were asked to serve the youngest and at that time, some of the most vulnerable members of our congregation? Imagine the hard conversation your unready heart and brain might have had, and the conversations you might have had with your friends or family as you made this careful decision. Imagine yourself parking in the UUC parking lot. You are probably excited to reconnect with your students, but you might also be craving the warmth and quiet of the sanctuary, the adult connection. However, it's not safe to do both right now. So you go straight to your classroom space, making this choice in order to keep your vulnerable students as safe as possible. Then walking into a room full of unvaccinated people who may or may not be skilled in mask wearing, I've learned that some masks just do not want to stay up over teeny tiny noses. Imagine handing out pipe cleaners to your students. You might not have a passion for making pipe cleaner snowflakes, but you know that it's not really about the craft you're making this morning. Truly, it's about children. Truly, it's about children and young people feeling seen and heard by their important adults, tending to relationships, making new friends and seeing old friends, and holding a spiritual home for our young congregants during a very hard and confusing time. Now imagine hearing the tones of Rev Pam, the worship associates, and the choir from your classroom. You probably won't be able to catch the words. However much your heart might be craving those words, that spiritual guidance, grounding, and sacred connection. You might be dreaming of the time when we can return to a time for all ages, with all ages actually in the room together so that you can experience both sanctuary and classroom time. And now let us move into compassion, coupling our feelings with the wish to take action. What would you need in order to feel seen and heard by your community in those moments you just walked through? What would you need in order to know deeply that you are still held within your congregation, even though you might be unable to settle into a seat in the sanctuary or even have a chat in the lobby? What would your heart need to hear, to feel? And finally, we'll take intentional action. Let us meet those needs with words. The LFD interim team has set up a large sheet of poster paper, which Rev Pam will guide you to. Brandy, Sarah, and I invite you to let our UUC teachers know how much you empathize with their experiences and how valuable their service is to our congregation. They lead the children and young people of our UUC family with their own empathy, compassion, and intentional action every Sunday. Let's let them know that we see their service and commitment, and that it is deeply appreciated. Share your words of support, gratitude, and encouragement with our community of teachers. If you are on Zoom, please share your words in the chat, and we will write them on the paper after the service. Thank you for opening your hearts to our teachers. Through the never-ending circle of compassion that is our congregation, may your heart also be filled in turn, knowing that you are also seen, heard, and understood through the intentional empathy, compassion of our congregation. Thank you.
I got nothing after that. I got to listen to that a couple of times, and I don't think I had a dry eye. So, Alyssa and Sarah and Brandy have invited us to write on this paper over here. We'll lay it down flat. There's some Sharpies up there, and I just thought maybe we should get some wipes so that we can clean pens between users. So I'll run back and get some. So during the offering and after the service, and even during other hymns, if you feel moved to write a word or two of gratitude to the people who are loving our children for us, that's the place to do it. And those of you on Zoom, write it in the chat, and we will get it transcribed onto the paper so that the teachers can read your appreciation words too.
Let us celebrate our ability to contribute to our community by collecting an offering. It is a practice of our congregation to share half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient is the Literacy Volunteers of the New River Valley, whose mission is to foster, support, advocate for, and entrust adults in the New River Valley who seek opportunities to achieve greater independence through literacy. Please give online using the links in the chat or through the many ways listed on the screen. You will be able to give after the service as well. For those of you in the sanctuary and would like to give cash or check, there is a basket in the back of the sanctuary, and thank you for your generosity. As we collect our offering, we'll enjoy Jared playing Prelude D flat major, by Frederick Chopin, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance and to write messages of gratitude and support to the volunteers who work with our children and youth. Please remember to maintain distance between yourself and others. For those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and we will read those aloud after the offering. Likewise, you can write messages of gratitude and support to our teachers and youth advisors, and we'll put that on the paper, as Alyssa said, after service. Join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in the support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Now, I invite you into the mood of meditation. As we explore empathy and compassion, it seems appropriate for us to do a loving kindness meditation. So take a breath, settle into your seat, soften your shoulders, soften your gaze. Become present to this moment and to your breath. We always begin loving kindness by extending it to ourselves. We cannot extend it to others unless we have it. So wish these things for yourself. May I be safe. May I be well. May I know joy. May I live with ease. Now I invite you to call to mind someone you love dearly. See their face and send them these wishes. May you be safe. May you be well. May you know joy. May you live with peace and ease. Now call to mind someone you don't know well, maybe someone you just encounter in your daily lives. I like to think of the woman at Kroger. And send them these thoughts. May you be safe. May you be well. May you know joy. May you live with ease. Now call to mind someone who is hard to love, or maybe even to like, someone who is currently a thorn in your side. And send them these thoughts. May you be safe. May you be well. May you know joy. May you live with ease. Now that you've done the hard part, Let's expand the circle to everyone in this room, physically or virtually. And let's take it out even wider to everyone in the NRV, in Virginia, in the United States, in the world. Expand the circle to all beings on earth. May we be safe. May we all be well. May we all know joy. May we live with peace and with ease. Amen, and blessed be.
Today's reading was written by Leslie Jamison. Empathy isn't just something that happens to us, a meteor shower of synapses firing across the brain. It's also a choice we make to pay attention, to extend ourselves. It's made of exertion, that doubtier cousin of impulse. Sometimes we care for another because we know we should, or because it's asked for, but this doesn't make our caring hollow. The act of choosing simply means we've committed ourselves to a set of behaviors greater than the sum of our individual inclinations. This confession of effort chafes against the notion that empathy should always rise unbidden, that genuine means the same thing as unwilled, that intentionality is the enemy of love. But I believe in intention, and I believe in work. I believe in waking up in the middle of the night and packing our bags and leaving our worst selves for better ones.
Leslie Jamison's words come from an essay titled The Empathy Exams. In it, she explores empathy through her personal experiences, including that of being a standardized patient for medical students. You know what that's like. She poses as a patient, and the students have to interview and examine her, gaining practical experience in making diagnoses. After the encounter, the standardized patients fill out an evaluation of the student's performance, whether they successfully uncovered important information or not, but also about what we might refer to as their bedside manner. Whether the med student voiced empathy for my situation / problem. Even though they are all play acting, it's clear that some of the students are more adept and more at ease expressing empathy than others. I love the way Jamison frames empathy, and it's not surprising that it comes from a medical context. One of the reasons Gretchen wanted to participate in today's service was because her work as a nurse has everything to do with empathy and compassion. She has to listen and hear her patients to know what she needs to do for them. Likewise, Alyssa expressed an interest in talking about empathy and compassion because she's read a great deal about people who are self-identified empaths, people who feel other people's feelings intensely, so intensely sometimes that they must protect themselves from those feelings, intentionally distancing themselves from pain and trauma to keep from being overwhelmed. I think of the people in the helping professions who must be careful about compassion fatigue. And some of you have told me you don't watch the news anymore because it's overwhelming in the same way. And I do think Alyssa did a wonderful job of helping us have an empathic experience with our religious educators. Did anyone else come away with a new and deeper understanding of what it might feel like to spend time with our children instead of up here in worship? A new and deeper appreciation for the choices they've had to make, especially under the conditions of a pandemic, whether to teach here or to stay at home. I've always been grateful for those who choose to work with our children and youth. I used to be one of those people, but I'd forgotten some of the sacrifices they make in ordinary times, and I hadn't fully appreciated how much more difficult it might have been this year. I'm glad to know more, to feel more. But the question becomes, what can I do? What do I feel called to do by the new understanding empathy brings? Today, we can start by writing notes of appreciation, letting the teachers know that we see their contributions and their sacrifices, asking and listening to their stories is another way. And some of you may even feel called to volunteer to help in the future. That movement from empathy to compassion, from feelings to actions, is what we're exploring today. As the Dalai Lama put it in our centering quote, it is not enough to be compassionate. You must act. Last week, Victoria invited us to set clear and specific intentions for the new moon, the new month, the new year. But what is the impulse, the motivation behind our intentions? And how might empathy and compassion help us set those intentions? So I've been thinking about the people who identify as empaths, who feel deeply what others feel. And I remember a character on Star Trek, The Next Generation, you know, Deanna Troi, you remember her? Whose empathic abilities were an asset, making her an excellent counselor and also coming in handy in their interstellar adventures. I was gonna say intergalactic, but I'm not sure. Is it intergalactic or interstellar? Both, okay. I thought there would be a difference and some Trekkie would come back and say, no, you got it wrong. But I'm also understanding the disadvantages of empathy as I read The Parable of the Sowers by Octavia Butler. It's a dystopian novel narrated by a young woman named Lauren, whose ability to literally feel the physical pain of others, it's called hyper-empathy syndrome, is challenging as she tries to survive in a very dangerous world. It's a science fiction novel set in 2024. Isn't that scary? She writes, if hyper-empathy syndrome were a more common complaint, people couldn't do such things. If everyone could feel everyone else's pain, who would torture? Who would cause anyone unnecessary pain? She goes on, I've never thought of my problem as something that might do some good before, but the way things are, I think it would help. I wish I could give it to people. A biological conscience is better than no conscience at all. Now, things have gotten so bad in the world portrayed in the parable of the sower that it would take physical pain for people to keep from harming each other. But her words still resonate 3 years before the setting of the novel. As I look around our world, I'm mindful that cultivating empathy, particularly for those for whom it doesn't seem to come naturally, could cure a lot of ills. Jamie and I had a conversation at breakfast yesterday about people who don't seem to have any empathy at all. Can you think of some people in politics? What would it feel like for them to actually feel what it feels like for those that they think of as the other? That's what I'll be praying for. Consider the many deep divisions in our country, along religious, political, class, racial, and other lines. People become so identified with their particular ideology or philosophy or worldview that it becomes difficult to imagine other people's experiences and perspectives. Practicing empathy with intention gives us a glimmer of other people's perspectives. And the more we know about each other, the more likely we'll be able to lessen those divides. And it does take intention, especially for people for whom it doesn't come naturally. As Jameson writes, empathy isn't just something that happens to us, a meteor shower of synapses firing across the brain. It's also a choice we make to pay attention, to extend ourselves. It's made of exertion. Sometimes we care for another because we know we should, or because it's asked for. But this doesn't make our caring hollow. I'm reminded of my time as a middle school teacher when I had to explicitly teach some of my students to read social cues. Look at my face. How do you think I feel about what you just said? I wasn't smiling when I said it to them. They didn't automatically read all the cues to see how what they did or said affected other people. But once they were cued to look, they could make a different choice. Once you know how someone feels, then you can choose to act differently. Jameson explores the nuances of empathy in her experience with medical students. She writes, "Empathy isn't just listening. It's asking the questions whose answers need to be listened to. Empathy requires inquiry as much as imagination. Empathy requires knowing you know nothing. Empathy means acknowledging a horizon of context that extends perpetually beyond what you can see. Empathy doesn't just happen for lots of people. It requires intention. It's not just imagining how someone might feel, it's asking them. I think the part of that quote that really gets me most is, it requires knowing you know nothing. If you're like me, knowing things is kind of a big deal. And it requires humility to say, maybe I don't know why he thinks the way he thinks, how she feels, what led them to this decision. So my practice this week of living with intention will be to step back, to take a moment, to let in the possibility that I don't know, and ask. Can you call to mind someone in your life to whom you might do the same? So we will extinguish the chalice, but not the warmth of community, the light of hope, and the fire of commitment. In the week ahead, let's commit to living with intention, to asking hard questions and listening.